Anoint my lips, O Lord, that I might faithfully proclaim your holy word. For these things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Walking is the main course of exercise that I have been doing to keep in shape. I started on a walking machine somewhere around 1994. Along with stretching, rowing, and slight variations in my exercise routine, except when it is pouring down rain or it's below about 10 degrees out. Then I do inside exercises. My standards for my walks is I should walk fast enough to get my heart rate up, and I should walk enough so it's part of my routine. And so my goal is 4 days a week. And I should walk a long enough duration so it is beneficial to me. Well, I do my 4 days a week, and I walk fast enough. Now, that chunk, do I walk long enough? Probably not. I walk for 30 minutes. 45 minutes or an hour would be better, but I'm not there. Well, the Apostle Paul speaks of our Christian walk with the Lord in Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. And he's using the word walk as a metaphor for how we live as Christians. Walk in this figure of speech implies a slow, steady, and daily effort. A marathon, not a sprint. So I'd like to cover 2 points, and I've slightly varied my title. My title will stick more with point number two, but point number one is walk in love. Point number two is walk in light. So my first point is walking in love, a firm knowledge of God's love and one's place in God's family motivates self-sacrifice necessary for Christian living. As we have been recipients of God's redeeming love for us, we ought to reflect this same generous love towards others in our personal interactions with each other. And where it is needed, forgive others who have wronged you and ask forgiveness from others whom you have wronged. This is one important way that we reflect God's goodness. We have already heard Paul's call for Christians in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Paul is continuing with this theme of walking and imitating Christ-like love for each other. Christ's death is spoken of as a model that we are to follow. We are to love in the same way that Christ loved us as he offered himself for us as a sacrifice of God to make atonement for our sins. And so Christ's death is not simply our model and guide that we are to follow, but it is the root and the motivation for us to follow God. And let's face it, it is a staggering model and path to follow. Because we know from the outset, our Lord Jesus Christ, being both God and man, loved us with a perfect love and continues to love us completely and perfectly. And we also know that we are imperfect. Our hearts and our walk as Christians is a mixed bag of good works as well as sin, of starts and stops, of making both forward and backward motion as we try to serve God. Christ's death for our sins is an atonement for us. It's a covering. His death also delivers us from the power of reigning sin so that we can walk in the newness of resurrection life which Christ gives to us. This life enables us to love others like we could not do before. But by the Holy Spirit, he is with us and in us, enabling us to love as Christ loved us. And so he assists us and is with us and in us to love our neighbors. So although our love is imperfect, we have hope in Christ that he is with us to give us power to love our neighbors as ourselves. The second point is that we are to walk in light. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, 3 through 7, that we are to turn away from the works of darkness. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4, Paul says this, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And not, there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." The Reformation Study Bible makes this helpful comment about these verses. To trivialize the sexual relationship with crude joking on the one hand, or to idolize it on the other, is out of step with our identity as saints. As those chosen and called to bear God's restored image, we can accept God's gift, including sexuality, with thanksgiving, and restore them to their proper use. What the writer of these comments is referring to is that we need to receive God's gifts and use them for the purpose that God gave them to us. God has designed sexual relations between a man and a woman within the covenant of marriage. As we will see later on in Ephesians 5, marriage is a holy covenant between a man and a woman intended for the both of them as long as they shall live. It is the teaching of Holy Scripture that it is God's moral will for people to live a life abstaining from sexual relations outside of marriage, and within marriage, God has ordained the approval of a husband and wife to give themselves to each other in love and affection. God has set up marriage that the husband and wife are to have an exclusive and faithful relationship with each other. And so when Paul speaks of sexual immorality, he means anything outside of the bond of that one man, one woman relationship within the covenant of marriage. In the physical realm, one dispels darkness by turning on the light. Physical light then can be a deterrent to dark behavior. In April of 2019, the city of New York did a study on the effects of street lights on crime. It was a 45-page report, but here is a short summary. Quote, "In partnership with the Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice, the New York City Police Department, and the New York City Housing Authority, Crime Lab designed a randomized controlled trial involving 40 public housing developments, all of which had elevated lights, and half of which received new lights and half did not. The light study found that the development that received new lights experienced crime rates that were significantly lower than would have been without the new lights. Among the findings, the study concluded that increased levels of lighting led to a 36% reduction in index crimes." And so, more light, less crime. Actually, what probably happened is that the criminal figured out the streets with increased lighting and said, "Let me do the crime somewhere else." As a result of the believer's union in Christ, the Christ who is the light of the world, he gives us this exhortation in Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:9, "For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So Paul uses these three attributes of goodness, righteousness, and truth. At times in the Old Testament, these combinations are coupled together. For instance, in Psalm 85, 10 and 11, the psalmist says, "Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven." Psalm 85 has long been interpreted to point to the death of Christ, which manifested God's attributes of righteousness and mercy. God's justice is seen in that Christ suffered for our sins and satisfied God's judgment against sin. God's mercy is demonstrated as Christ accomplished salvation for sinners. So in the cross, we see both righteousness and mercy. When the Apostle Paul speaks of righteousness, he emphasizes that in Jesus Christ, we see the perfect expression of God's goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so Paul is building on John's statements in John 1 that in Jesus is the fullness of God who is also human. For the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus is the full and perfect expression of God's grace and truth, we are united to Jesus Christ by faith. And so Paul urges us to walk in light in Him who is goodness, righteousness, and truth, and yield to Christ's image in us. In the same way that Jesus calls us to walk in the light, so He calls us to reflect this light. I have already spoken of in my first point how God's generous love for His people is demonstrated in the sending of His Son for our salvation. We also are to walk in righteousness. And righteousness is an attribute of God, a characteristic of God. In order to comprehend the message of the New Testament teaching of righteousness, we must own the fact that we are not righteous. Paul tells us in Romans 3, "No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." Paul goes on in Romans 3, 20 through 22, speaking about the fact that although we are not righteous, we can receive a righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus. And so this gift of righteousness is given to all those who trust in Jesus and His saving work for us on the cross. Paul is telling us to walk in righteousness based on God's gift of righteousness imputed to us by faith. And so we are declared righteous in Jesus, and we are to walk in that righteousness. The Apostle Paul speaks also of light consisting in the truth. It seems within the context of this passage that Paul is speaking of truth, hearkening back to what he said in Ephesians 4 about the truth as it is revealed in Jesus, the truth of God's saving love for us in Christ. It is this truth of the gospel and God's word that we are to speak to our neighbors. We are to turn away from the works of darkness and live as children of light. Besides separating from darkness, Christians are also told in Ephesians 5:11 that we are to expose the deeds of darkness. This aspect of exposing the deeds of darkness begins with each of us. We are to expose any part of our lives which does not line up with the light of God's Word. We are to turn the light of God's Word on every dark corner of our heart and of our thoughts and repent of them and shine God's Word upon them. This is how we are to apply the gospel in our lives as we practice the daily discipline of confession of sin, repentance, and rededication of our lives to God. May God strengthen our hearts and our resolve to walk in God's love and God's light. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray and plead with you that the words which we have heard from your holy word this day may be so grafted inwardly in our hearts, that they may bring in us the fruit of godliness and righteousness to the honor and praise of your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.